This time on episode 246 of Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., we'll be discussing Legion Chapter 10, the weekly Marvel news, and your feedback.
I'm Andrew Walsh, a.k.a. Bat Phantom, from the Operation Pug podcast, proud member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the show you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual host. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1...
You have been granted clearance by Director Alfonso Mack McKenzie. Stand by for a S.H.I.E.L.D. debriefing. All information to be discussed here is classified and may only be discussed among agents granted clearance by the S.H.I.E.L.D. Director.
Now it's time for your scheduled debriefing. I'm Director SP.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
Welcome to Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., a Marvel Comic Universe fan show. The show is recorded on Sunday, June 17th, 2018, live from the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. studios and broadcast astral plane wide via www.geeks.live. Didn't know that astral plane had URLs, but apparently they do. Ladies, happy National Eat Your Vegetables Day.
Yay.
Broccoli's not bad.
I could have said happy Father's Day, but neither of you two are fathers that I know of.
Yeah. You're also not my supervisor. You can't tell me to eat my vegetables.
Technically, I am your supervisor on this podcast, Haley.
Nope. Not buying it.
All right. We'll have discussions later. Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a fan-based podcast on the ABC television show Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which we just started our fourth week of the hiatus after the season 5 finale. We'll be counting down the weeks until season 6. The multiple Marvel's Defenders series on Netflix, for now, Legion on FX, which we will be continuing season 2 today, possibly The Gifted on Fox, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and the Marvel comic and comic book universes in general.
Because of lounging on the roof as a cat.
If you'd like to talk to us about your experiences lounging as a cat, you can visit our website, legendsofshield.com.
If you'd like to talk about how you wish you were a cat, you can leave us a voicemail at 844-THE-BUS-1. It's 844-843-2871.
You can find us on Facebook with pictures of our cats by visiting our Facebook page, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. Podcast.
You can follow us on Twitter, at Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D.
You can also find videos, usually with cats in the background, on our YouTube page, youtube.com/GunnaGeek.
You can tell your Amazon device to enable Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. skill.
And remember, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is a proud member of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Our fine agent, Lauren, will not be joining us today. I suspect she is actually pretending she's a cat right now. So I don't think that's a long stretch, but she said she couldn't join us, and that's the last we heard of her, although we did get several pictures of cats sent to us in the meantime. So I assume that's what she's doing, is she is pretending she is a cat, but she should be back again next week. It depends on how long she remains a cat. We'll see. With that, let's get on into the episode of Legion. Today, we'll be talking about Legion episode titled Chapter 10, or should I just say Legion Chapter 10, and it aired Tuesday, April 10th, 2018 on the FX network and earned a rating of 0.439, which reminds me of the Defiance ratings, by the way. So Legion was renewed for a third season, remember, on June 1st, 2018, so no threat of cancellation quite yet. Now, this is the lowest rating episode of the entire series to date by far. I think the one before that in the list of highest to lowest was Chapter 9. And then we'd have to go into Chapter 7 last year for the number 3 lowest rating. So yeah, it's not picking up. And as we know, because we have been broadcast Chapter 19 so far, it doesn't get any better. So no surprises for us there. Now, Haley, who directed this episode?
This episode was directed by Anna Lily Amirpour. She does not have a lot of directing experience. She has 13 credits, but most of those are for shorts. She has a few, I think they're horror movies. A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night and The Bad Batch. She did a TV series documentary, Breakthrough. She did the episode Curing Cancer. And then she has this episode of Legion.
Michelle, our writers are very familiar to us.
Yes, this episode was written by Noah Hawley and Nathaniel Halpern. They are the co-creators and producers of the show. You're going to find that all season long, except for chapter 19. They're the ones who write the episodes.
All right. So chapter 10, Haley, we've been talking about titles in this podcast, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, about the episodes, so we can discern a little bit into the creative minds of the director, the showrunner, of what the episode is pathed to do, to explain a story to us. It's usually contained within the title. So what can you tell us about the title of this episode, Chapter 10?
It came 10th.
I see. So it was the one after 9 and the one before 11.
Yeah. Sorry, I got nothing. It's early.
Wow. We have finally found a way to quiet Haley, and that is podcasting mere moments after she has rolled out of bed. I assume it was bed. I assume she wasn't sleeping on the floor of the couch, but we don't need to go there today. All right. So chapter 10, that's what we're talking about. And we're going to start by talking about the opening credits, or the opening scene of the episode, because this is fundamental for where this series goes from here on out. Even though this is the last episode that I have pre-watched, this is the second time I've watched the episode, and the chapter 11 next week will be the first time. So I am out of pre-watched episodes, but Michelle has seen this all before, and she said that this is important. So we're going to talk about how David goes through this agreement with Farouk through a merry-go-round with Lenny and Oliver.
Yeah, the opening shot is like this weird visuals, and then we get Lenny licking a lollipop. Her and Oliver are riding this merry-go-round, and David is like a distraction. Really? And there's this conversation about, you know, Lenny's trying to convince him. It's like, hey, you remember when we did drugs? And David's like, well, that wasn't a real thing. And Lenny's like, look, you remember it, so therefore it is real. And that's, again, the theme of this season is what is real, who creates reality, and who agrees on what reality is. So remember that. And David agrees to this distraction. And then we go to this field with a fortune teller where Oliver sees Oliver. And then it becomes night where you have the trucks that come. There's Vermillions, there's Sid, David, Ptolemy's there. Find the fortune teller thing with Sid's music box. And then as that's happening over in D3, we have Oliver, who is, of course, with Farouk and Lenny, singing Swinging on a Star, killing people, turning them into fish and pigs, and doing some awful stuff.
At least he left the kids alone. Now, the first time I watched it, I was telling Michelle before we went on live today to record, I said, you know, the first time I watched it, I didn't get what the hobbits were all about. I didn't get that. And this episode is where that sparked that memory, because their children, which we were told last episode, I didn't pick that up during the first watch through. And so I'm glad that Farouk left the kids alone, because that would have, I don't know what it is. I mean, kids are special, leave the kids alone sort of thing, but that's kind of like my shoot the dog moment.
It's strange that he did, though, because he's been so ruthless, but he's got a soft spot for kids.
I guess. I might be spoiling something. Maybe I did watch more, and I was thinking about something with Farouk and his possible kids, but maybe that was last season. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Timey-wimey. I can't get it all straight, especially with this show and the fact that we're watching it time delayed and we've already podcasted a season about it. Okay, so they come in and they do all that in Division 3. I wanted to say Level 3 because they're actually on Floor 3 of Division 3. So that kind of blew my mind too. So they're doing that and we run into a very interesting situation with the Loudermilks. Right, Haley? I mean, the Loudermilks, you got Carrie living within Carrie, and that was kind of weird to go through last season, but we get a little spin on that this episode.
Right. They're inside out now. And I kept expecting it to, right before they sing to try and separate each other, you know, he's telling her she's got to go do something. And I'm thinking, like, does she have to poop and she doesn't know how?
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Maybe she's got to go to the bathroom, even if it's number one and not number two, and she just can't do it, or she has to eat and she just doesn't want to do it. So yeah, it could have been anything like that. But no, we find out that they're using some sort of connection that they had when they were kids to try to separate themselves again. I can't remember. They don't combine again at the end of the episode, right?
No. No, but he notices that she has gray hair now.
That's right. She's got the rogue hair going.
Yeah.
We'll see on that. Now, so, Michelle, you mentioned that the reality part of it with the opening and the we get the graphics on the tick and the dog, the bloodhound, so to speak, which I thought was interesting. We're talking about a tick sucking blood, and they're using a bloodhound for the example. So blood is in the creator's mind here. But there was a lesson inherent in that, and that was the reality. We have to agree on what's real. And you're saying that's a major takeaway from this episode.
Yes. Again, what is real? Who creates reality? So in the lesson, which it's interesting that these are narrated by John Hamm. Always forget about that because of the way he's sounding. Oliver teaches a boy that red is green and green is red, and that red means stop and green means go. And the boy who's been isolated goes when it's actually red, thinking that's go, and ends up getting hit by the car, probably dies.
Most likely.
Most likely. So it's this idea that this one person had this reality and was taught this one reality. But then when you go into the mass reality that has been agreed upon, which is green to us, green is green, and that means go, and red is red, and that means stop. So we know how to navigate the world because we've all agreed on what these colors are and how not to, you know, really kill each other when we drive. So that becomes that whole one person has this particular reality and a delusion, and then what everybody else sees. This plays out through the entire season. I watched the finale. It is even in that, the whole idea with the egg. You know, pay attention to when everyone talks about like reality being a construct. Farouk tells David that he can actually create reality, that they're gods. Even Sydney says reality is a choice when she agrees to help David. Anytime there's a reference to an egg and the idea coming from an egg, that becomes important.
We do get that in this episode too with future Sid.
Yes. First off, she's surprised that David pulls her into their shared space. And he's like, am I alive? And she's like, it's complicated. And he's like, why should I help Farouk? And she's like, well, he is needed to help kill the thing that kills everything.
David is totally the thing that kills everything. That is my theory.
It's totally obvious to me at this point. Yeah.
And then David's like, well, how does it start? And Sid actually says, it started like any other idea as an egg. And the few of us who are left went into hiding. So, yeah. And then Sid says, it's nice to see you how you are now, sweet. So, yeah.
So we get that foreshadowing, which if you're picking up on stuff, yeah, that's it. And then you also get the fact that David is found out by Fukuyama and Clark. And I don't know if Clark figures it out on his own or if he's using Fukuyama in the Vermillions, but they know that David has been lying about distracting everybody. And David also is very shook up about planning the distraction, basically, or going in on it, and then all the people that have died because of it. So you've got that dynamic going now too, where David's really shown some emotion, which I think Fukuyama and Clark are going to be able to pick up on. I don't know. It's my two cents. What do you guys think?
I don't know. I think if they were going to pick up on that, they would have already. They're suspicious, but I don't think they're ever going to be able to figure it out themselves.
Okay. That's fair enough. We won't ask Michelle to speculate because she knows what happened. We do have an interesting conversation that happens, though, not between David and Oliver and Lenny, but David and Farouk himself. And you mentioned it was, by the way, the fortune-telling booth. Remember the Peanuts 5-cent psychiatric booth? You guys ever
the lemonade
read
stand?
Yeah. That's what that reminded me of. The Peanuts psychiatric help booth.
Me too.
Are you saying Farouk's going to pull the football again?
I think so. But you have that conversation between the two, and that was very interesting, wasn't it, Michelle?
Yeah. Farouk is telling David, you need to grow up. You need to start sitting at the table with the big boys. And then David gets angry because he's like, we have to talk. I am upset that you're killing people. And finally, it's like, finally we dance. And then there's like this wrestling where Farouk is in red and David's in the blue outfit with a D on it. And then Farouk changes into a warrior saying, you're playing the wrong game. David turns into a tank, and then Farouk turns into like smoke and pins him. David is able to pin Farouk and say, you will not kill anybody else. And Farouk says, okay, it'll be less fun, but I won't kill anybody else.
So they agree to disagree, basically. And then you got this really neat scene where Farouk walks away. I guess they agree to agree. But anyway, Farouk walks away, and David goes back to where he is because he's projecting himself onto some sort of astral plane. Farouk actually uses his thumb to erase the booth from the painting. And then Lenny comes up, tries to talk to him because Lenny wants to get out. He's like, hey, look, you have used me for what you need to use me for. And I want to go back into the world. And she really appeared in that scene to be a junkie, far more so than I have seen since season one. I thought that was all very interesting, and the way that Farouk was controlling the reality too.
We haven't seen Lenny since season one. We've only seen the Shadow King using Lenny's face.
That's not entirely true. The opening scene of
In the first episode we did see her, but for the most part we've seen Aubrey Plaza playing the Shadow King. We've seen very little of her playing Lenny.
Right. But anyway, it was interesting. She wanted out and he wasn't going to let her. What are you going to do?
That sort of freaked me out when Farouk just reaches up and unzips the scene.
Yeah. Clearly stating that they are in some sort of altered reality.
Yeah. And then it becomes white. Just not even like the, you know, David had the white room with him in Sydney, but this is like, it's all white. You can't even tell. It's like, it looks like they're standing on a floor, but it's
a blank canvas.
Yeah.
It's like the, what do they call it? The waiting room of the construct in the Matrix?
Yeah.
Forget what they call that. Ooh, bad geek.
I think it was the construct.
So that happened, and the battle, that was kind of interesting. I remember watching that the first time around, and that, I don't know if Farouk became smoke or maybe a sandstorm or a windstorm or something like that, but it was obviously something that you couldn't combat with a tank. So yeah, it's almost reminiscent of Green Lanterns going after each other with varying degrees of superpowers or whatever, and one being able to outwit the other through the choice of weapons. And basically that's all I've got for the episode. Haley, did you remember anything specific that you want to talk about?
Not really. I think we've touched on most of the stuff that I wanted to say. I feel like this episode is kind of setting stuff up more than stuff actually happening in it.
So I wanted to make a comment, by the way, you're talking about setup and stuff like that. I remember David going into the tank to try to get to Future Sid again. And the graphics that are used, by the way, are very reminiscent of the graphics that are used in 2001. And this was a movie that was made in 1967. It premiered in 1968. And it was about the Space Odyssey, you know, the 2001, 2010. Now, the graphics that were shown, you'd have to go back and look at those similar graphics. They're very similar on the sort of space-time continuum travel that's occurring between the monolith in 2001, 2010. And what we're witnessing here. So I don't know if that was a tip of the hat, if that was intentional or not, but it was very similar to me. So that was pretty cool. Michelle, what did we miss in the episode?
When Oliver / Farouk is in D3, not only does he see like the teeth chatterers, he stops by Melanie's room. And Melanie actually tells Fukuyama that she heard from Oliver that they're looking for a monk. And where is the monk? And the Fukuyama is like, those monks should be dead. There shouldn't be any of them left. And Melanie's like, well, there should be. And later on, Melanie tells David to get out. She talks about how she never had her own dream. She's like, the gift is an obstacle. He should just take Sid, run away. And David's like, well, what about the world? And Melanie is like, the world will be fine. We all die anyway. Talk about being bleak. Yeah, so Melanie's in a very interesting spot.
She stood up for David against Fukuyama, and she was clearly hungover, you know, in a robe. So watching her through this episode, it was an interesting light to see her, because she's still hurting from Oliver, and she's kind of rooting for David because she might think that David's the only chance to get Oliver back. I'm thinking. So we'll see where this takes us from chapter 10 into chapter 19 at the end of the season. All right. I assume that this is going to continue to be interesting, and we're going to need our therapy sessions. If we missed anything that Lauren could talk to us, like you were mentioning the monks, by the way, if Lauren has some history of the monks, because apparently they happened before David's time, that would be interesting to learn about that. And I'm just looking forward to where this story goes, because last season it really paid off. Looking forward to the payoff for this year. All right, ladies, we actually will be continuing next week with chapter 11. It's season 2, chapter 3, as we continue to be caught up and into the Marvel universe and continue to spend our time before the next Marvel Cinematic Universe movies come out and the next season 6 of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. In the meantime, Michelle, there's a whole bunch of geeky content that people can get over on the Gunna Geek Network, and I know this particular one Lauren will be interested in.
Yes, our featured podcast this week is the Intellectual Podcast, episode 219, Lauren Melody Shell, part 1. David and Whitney kick start the back half of season 5 on a bright day in San Diego with a lively discussion and the first part of an interview with Lauren Melody Shell, a talented art director and visual effects wizard whose credits include Interstellar, Star Wars, Go Rogue, and literally Right Before Aaron.
Right. So the reason why I think this will be interesting for Lauren is she is a costume and set designer. So I know Lauren really enjoys talking about that stuff. So if you want to catch that, once again, that's the Intellectual Podcast, episode 219. You can find that at GunnaGeek.com.
All right. So first up, we got some business news. We'd been talking about Disney attempting to acquire Fox, and then Comcast came along also putting in a bid to buy Fox. Well, the Fox board is meeting next week to consider this new Comcast bid.
Yeah, so earlier this year, Disney agreed to purchase 21st Century Fox for $52.4 billion. Everything seemed wonderful, but Comcast really crashed the party and offered $65 billion. And this comes right after the AT&T Time Warner merger was approved. And because of that, Comcast has just literally jumped on Fox. Disney won't be completely out of the running, according to the initial terms of the deal. If a better offer was presented, Disney has 5 days to return with an even better proposal. So Fox is really wanted by Disney and Comcast. There is the possibility that the two companies could purchase different parts of Fox. So Comcast could get one thing. Perhaps Disney, Marvel will just can just purchase all the comic book stuff and have their universe back when it comes to that.
Yeah, this is something that we're watching very closely here on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. because of the Marvel contingency to it. But this is a big property, and it's very interesting to a lot of people on what the outcome is going to be. As well, it kind of sets the stage of the future of the, it's not telecom, but, you know, content providing companies out there, and if they can basically go down to a monopoly or not. So I don't know. We'll see. Interesting. So Haley, if you had to pick who's going to buy out outright 21st Century Fox, would you choose Disney or Comcast?
It's hard to fight the mouse.
You want to fight the mouse?
No.
Okay.
It's hard to fight the mouse.
You're going with Disney.
Yeah.
So you want all your favorite X-Men to be Disney princesses?
Sure.
Okay.
They can all hang out with Thor. Next up, we've got some news coming out about Captain Marvel. It is to be scored by a female composer.
Yes, and a major breakthrough for women composers. Pinar Toprak has been signed to score Captain Marvel, the superhero movie due released in March 2019. She just finished scoring the first season of Sci-Fi's Krypton, and she penned additional music for the DC film Justice League. She's the first female composer to score a major comic book movie. So, yay!
Now, she was born in Istanbul, Turkey, according to IMDb, and she's got quite a few credits to her as well, and she looks to be young, and that's the key thing, right? If you want somebody to be around forever, like John Williams, first of all, you got to be good, but second of all, you got to be young, so looking forward to what Pinar has to offer everybody.
A little bit more news about Captain Marvel. Brie Larson says she learned her own strength by playing the role.
Yeah, of course, Brie Larson can't talk about plot points, but she has been talking about how she's discovered her inner and outer strength through portraying the character. According to her, she trained extensively for 9 months in order to build her physical strength prior to production. She said, "My highest right now is 215 pounds in deadlifts, 400 pounds in hip thrust. Also, being able to lift weight like that has really changed my perspective and understanding of myself."
Haley, you can deadlift 250 pounds, right?
I don't know. I haven't done a deadlift in like 10 years.
Yeah. I don't know what a hip thrust is, but 400 pounds sounds like a lot of weight. I'm impressed.
Me too.
I'm worried about Googling that.
Does Captain Marvel, does she have to work out? That's a good question. I mean, is she inherently in shape or does she have to work out?
She is in the military, so I assume she did some sort of working out.
Okay, true, when she was actually in the Air Force, but...
but no, she has super strength, so...
yeah.
Like, does Superman need to lift weights? Like, what does he lift even? Okay, it looks like what you do with a hip thrust, BT dubs, is you sit with, like, the bar across your hips with your shoulders on a bench and then thrust your hips up.
Oh, so it's the lower stomach and the pelvic regions and the quads.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Looks like it would give you terrible bruises on your hips.
I know. I fell off a ladder this weekend, so I got some terrible bruises all over my body, but I'm still here to talk about it, and I don't do hip thrusts, so maybe I should. I see just how many pounds I could do, and it sounds like it might hurt me, so maybe not. I don't know. I'm impressed. But, okay, so she's got super strength. So, does Captain America need to work out, or does he just split logs with his bare hands all the time, and that's what he does?
I'm thinking the logs, you know, keep those muscles limber and stretched out.
Keep the hands tough.
Now, we know that Tony Stark works out because we've seen him in the boxing ring.
Yeah, he has to work out.
Right. So maybe we need to make a list. What superheroes, Marvel superheroes, work out and which Marvel superheroes do not need to work out?
I think everybody that works with Cap works out. So like Black Widow, Falcon, Hawkeye.
Ant-Man needs to work out. So does Star-Lord. There has to be gym somewhere on the ship.
Maybe.
Thor does not have to work out because he's just a god.
Okay.
Doctor Strange doesn't need to work out because he just does magic.
Well, that's interesting because magic is basically holding his hands together.
I mean, maybe he does some, you know, brisk walking around town just to help with the cardio or something.
I wonder if, and I'm going to assume that he's brought back to life after, Doctor Strange, that is, after the Avengers Infinity War. I wonder if that's going to fix his hands. Like, would it fix anybody?
No, because he would come back as himself, because if you go back and his hands are fine, he has no reason to go anywhere. He would just still be an arrogant surgeon if his hands were okay, right?
I don't know, because he knows a lot more about the universe now. And how the universe works and what his place is in it, hands or no hands. I mean, who else is going to take over the defending of Earth from New York?
Wong. Remember, Wong just like, you know,
Wong
hung
could
out.
Not survive in New York. He can't even have enough cash on his person to get a tuna melt.
Oh, he'll adapt.
Right. All right. So, listener, if you have some great ideas on which superheroes work out and which don't, please get a hold of us at all the ways to get a hold of us. And we will then read that feedback on air like we're going to do right now.
We have a couple of things from Twitter we want to share. At Adonna Girl retweeted at Karen with the hashtag too soon. And this is from Denver Comic Con. There is someone cosplaying as Captain America and carrying like this sign that says, who is your favorite character from Infinity War? And it's all these baggies filled with dirt with names of those who, well, became dust in Infinity War. It's like, is it too soon? Is it not?
No, I don't think it's not too soon. And here's my reasoning why, because we know it's all going to go away next year anyway. So no, it's not too soon. If you're going to play around with it, now's the time to play around with it.
That's true.
Haley, what's your favorite bag here?
Just looked closely at it. Like the Drax one and the Groot one look completely different than the others. Like they're more rocky than dusty. And the Groot one's a lot bigger.
Yeah, I'd have to go with Drax and Groot just because they're different than the rest of them. Yeah.
And then at Mr. Pericles shared this picture and it says adorable before and after pics of kitten growing up too fast. And the first picture is of Robert Downey Jr., aka Iron Man, holding a black kitten. And then in the next picture, it's Robert Downey Jr. standing next to Chadwick Boseman, who is the Black Panther. And part of me, it's like, this is funny. Should I find this funny?
Yeah.
Is it okay that I find it funny?
I think it's great. I don't know who put that together, if Robert Downey Jr. actually did that or if somebody took a couple of pics of him and did that, but that's great. That's awesome. And of course, we all like Black Panther and can't wait for Black Panther 2 to come out, even though the Infinity War has made him dust.
It's going to be Black Panther 2, Shuri's Reign.
So I'm back looking at that board, by the way, from the previous tweet, and Doctor Strange has a little rock and sand. He's got like a combination, so he's definitely, go check that one out. And thank you very much for tweeting this to us, Mr. Pericles. We enjoyed this one. All right, ladies, if that's it for the feedback and for the news this week, we are going to find ourselves in the astral plane and get on out of here. You know, just for the rest of this season, I'm going to have to find some weird astral plane-y sort of music.
Use like that weird music box music.
Oh, yeah. The ones that piss Sid off. Yeah, we could do that.
Yeah.
All right. I just want to thank you, listener, for hanging in with us as we claw forward into the rest of the Marvel Cinematic Universe in between now and Avengers 4 Untitled Flick and the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Season 6 next year. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you everybody for listening. We really appreciate it. We would also appreciate if you let us know which of all the Marvel content out there you think we should be covering, because there's a lot of it and we're going to have to make a decision at some point about what happens next. So your feedback would be appreciated.
And by we mean, she means her, because she sets a schedule. So what? No matter what we agree to, if she ignores that and puts it on, so you have to convince Haley. We've done this once before. And Haley, you accepted bribes before. I hear you got a nice Ferrari.
I mean, I'm not going to not accept the bribes. That's just rude.
Yeah, right.
I'd like to thank everyone for their feedback, sharing funny little pictures, and share with us your insight on Legion, where you think it's going, what you think is happening, because it's a very interesting season. This season is different than last season. So it would be nice to hear what you're thinking about it.
Indeed, even if you've already watched all the way through, we'd love to hear what you have to say on it, because it's Legion. It's inherently screwed up and difficult to follow sometimes, and that's why we talk about it. All right, ladies, until next time, I'm Director S. Pete.
I'm Agent Haley.
And I'm Consultant Michelle.
See you guys next week and have fun watching Legion. Bye.
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 Thank you for listening. If you want to leave us feedback, go to gunnageek.com and you will find all our contact information and other shows. You can also visit legendsofshield.com where you'll find our complete archive of podcasts. The music heard on this podcast is by Kevin McLeod, found at incompetech.com, and also artists on pond5.com and audiojungle.net. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of the individual hosts and do not represent Stargate Pioneer Productions, Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., or Gunna Geek. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is the property of the Disney Corporation, Marvel Studios, and ABC. No infringement is intended.
Interesting casting news on Supergirl before the season finale came out, so that was interesting.
Yeah.
I had an opportunity to catch up on that. I don't think I'll be able to watch this week's episode until next weekend at the earliest. But, I don't know. Kind of just not feeling it on that show.
Yeah. It's like, it's really interesting. Legends of Tomorrow, they know what they are. And they knew what they were in season one. They just know what they are.
They didn't think it was going to work.
But it's working and it's the best one.
Yeah.
Out of the Arrowverse shows because they know what it's doing.
So I don't know if Legends of Tomorrow would work if there was not the other shows to pull from. So it kind of needs to be set in everything, but it's the best one, like you said, because of it.
Yeah, it's like the other shows should have that type of quality. It's like Flash is forgetting that people fell in love with Barry, Caitlin, Cisco, Iris, like that core. And then Joe, and then some version of Wells. That's what we love. That's what we love about Flash. And now Dip Dorp is going to be a full. But so is Joe's, the woman who plays Joe's wife. She's going to be a regular. So hopefully that counterbalances Dip Dorp being made a regular.
Oh, Dip Dorp.
Oh, it's Dibney. That's what I call Dibney, is okay. Dip Dorp.
Yeah, I kind of figured. I was like, did I miss a memo? So, Michelle, you've watched the entire season. Do you have a favorite episode? I mean, is there one coming up that we should be like, ooh, this is Michelle's favorite?
Well, one of the things I forgot to talk about is when Future Sid says David and Farouk, David bashes Farouk's head in the desert in a week. You need to remember that this season actually does take place over a week. There are episodes where it's very meditative and it's a character study. I think the Sid episode is very interesting. I don't want to give too much away. And then the last two, and everything kind of starts to come together. Yeah, this is a long burn. It's a slow burn before anything really starts to pay off. Just a warning. There's going to be a lot of, it's kind of weird. There's going to be a lot of episodes where it's going to be interesting to talk about, but then you realize, did anything actually happen in this episode?
All right.
There's a reason why the ratings plummet this season.
All right. Not as good put together.
Going back, and I know what to pick up on, it's very interesting in how certain things pay off later. But it's not like last season where we're like how these events and how the plot is working. This is very much how are the characters working and how is that perception of each other working? I don't know if that made sense at all.
Yeah, but I mean, the perception gets into the whole reality thing, which, yeah, I'd go with that. You ladies got anything good going on for the next week?
No, just work and stuff.
Okay.
I'm thinking about seeing either Ocean's 8 or Incredibles 2 this afternoon.
Ocean's 8 was fun. I enjoyed it.
I heard it's really good.
Have you seen Incredibles 2, Michelle?
No, because Incredibles 2 just came out, and my area would just have the whole bunch of kids and stuff. So I'm waiting the week because I just knew
that
just
was my thought too.
Yeah, all the kids are going to be there and stuff. So yeah, that's why I was able to go see Ocean's 8, and it's fun. Cate Blanchett, it's just too cool. She's just so cool.
Ferris went out to go see it, and he's a big Ocean's franchise fan. Mm-hmm. And he said that you can soundly put this as part of that trilogy. So now, you know, it's four part movie.
Quadrology.
He says it's just as good as the rest, and yeah, you should go see it. So I'll take his word for it.
Yeah, I like to pretend Ocean's 12 and 13 didn't exist, because those are kind of...
They're fun.
Eh.
Well, I mean, you got some good Bernie Mac going on, so...
That's true.
I mean, 11 is clearly the best of those, but I enjoy the others.
I did. I enjoyed them. There were some moments that were just like... The whole Julia Roberts pretending to be... That part. Yeah, that part. I was just like, really? But yeah, Ocean's 8, highly recommend it.
And they're pretty good heist movies, so. Yeah, I'd be looking at, if I wasn't leaving town tomorrow, I probably would have seen it this weekend, but I am leaving town, so. Yeah.
When does Ant-Man the Wasp come out again?
4th of July weekend?
Yeah, like the 6th or whatever.
Yeah.
But we're not doing anything that weekend, right? Is the 8th?
Yeah, no.
Right, I'm going to be out of town.
Yeah.
Okay, so the 8th is a no-go.
Yeah.
But the week after that, we could do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The 15th?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think we should.
Oh, I can't wait for that. It looks better than Ant-Man. So we get the Wasp.
Yeah.
Indeed. And the Wasp comes off as much more competent, at least in the trailers, much more competent than Scott, so.
Because she is. Did you see the first movie?
Yeah, I saw the first movie. I read the comics, too. Oh, did you guys hear that Marvel's busting up their price per issue to $5 now?
No.
Yeah.
Wait, is it still just the 22 pages?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. DC's staying strong at the $2.99.
Well, now some of theirs are going up to the $3.99.
Right. But they're saying that they will keep the $2.99 pricing and they're not going to bump everything up.
Flash is supposed to go up.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I could see it because they want to make money off their hot sellers.
Yeah. It's becoming to the point where if Flash actually becomes $4 and it's still twice a month, I'm not spending $8 a month on Flash. I mean, it's okay. I'm going to read Flash War because Wally is a big part of it. And I like Wally. Older white Wally is a big part of it. Because in the comic book, there's two Wallys.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. So that's interesting, but I don't know if I'm going to read it after that.
Yeah, I am definitely going to be making some deletions from my pull list if that happens, because there's ones that I read every once in a while. I mean, they stack up and I'm going, oh, okay. Have a few hours here. Let's dig into that. But they're not must reads. So I'll be dropping those.
Yeah. That's what's going to be sad is that we have to wait for trades now because some of them are cheaper than getting, especially if they start raising. And then this is what's sad. Comic books, it's a more expensive hobby than video games. I know video games, it seems like, oh my gosh, $60 at once, but you can get like 10 hours
a month.
Yeah. And then you get like 10 hours at least out of a video game, which is like $6 an hour. You can spend $20 on a comic book and just maybe get an hour worth of stuff out of it if you read it very closely. I have books that I would definitely get monthly and such because I think they're worth it, like Monstrous and Saga and Wonder Woman. But everything else is sort of like up in the air if they go up, because it's like I have a comic book budget. And if any of those go up, they have to get axed because it's over my comic book budget. So,
like this week, I went in to get my file. They call it a file at my place, not a pull list. So I get my file, and the comic that I was most excited to get was Port of Earth, which is an independent out of, you know, everything, even including Marvel and DC stuff. So I'm like, yeah.
And I would keep Green Arrow too. Even Hellblazer, I'm a little... Hellblazer is getting better. I wish they would find a consistent creative team because the first story arc hasn't paid off yet. It's been a rough year for Hellblazer. I'm hoping that it doesn't get canceled because I love John Constantine, but yeah, it's kind of... That one I can understand if people have dropped it.
So which one of you wants to buy me a $400 chess set?
Why do you want a $400 chess set?
Because it's the Harry Potter Final Challenge chess set. And it looks cool.
I bet it does.
So, yeah, the household has discovered that all the Harry Potter movies are on Netflix right now. And so it's been a summer of Harry Potter playing in the background.
Yeah. I don't know if I can see the new.
I bought it. I haven't seen it yet. The new, or it came out a year ago or whatever.
Oh, the Fantastic Beasts thing. Yeah. I want the Professor McGonagall origin story. I don't really care about all these white guys doing stuff. I want McGonagall, you know, she's a badass. I want to know how she got to be a badass. I want the Minerva story. And like with Star Wars, it's like, I don't need Boba Fett and Obi-Wan and stuff. Give me something else. Give me Ahsoka or something. Gosh.
Broadcast has been successfully terminated.
Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. is copyright 2018.